Bart.
Hello.
And this is our Merry Christmas, whatever you want to celebrate, show.
The Holiday Be Good to Yourself special.
Yes. Or would you say be a good kid or you shall get eaten?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like the fact right now I have a Mexican on my lap eating Mexican food. Be good or you shall get eaten.
It could be worse. She could be eating Mexicans herself.
He does. She likes spicy. What? She's proceeding to headbutt the microphone right now. I don't know if it's picking it up.
Yeah, it is.
Don't lick it. Okay, of course everyone knows Cassie. When I record, Cassie's in my lap. Well, someone should have took her down with me. With them. But hey, it's all good. So, how have you been since the last show?
I've been good. I've been busy. Trying to get ready for Christmas and trying not to lose my mind. The latter has, you know, won out.
And we did get to go watch Porgs.
Yes.
You can't miss Porgs.
Now I want to go buy a Porg.
It's a puffin.
I was protesting them before, but now I want to go buy one.
I felt bad when... Well, do you think Chewie's a vegan now?
No.
So all the ones that were on the ship are his food? Not pets?
No, like I was saying before, I'm pretty sure they just wound up on the ship. Now they could wind up becoming food.
I don't know.
But I don't think that was the intention.
I think it was hilarious when the one kept getting backhanded and smashed into things. Tenderize your lunch.
Yes.
Try not to spoil, but I'm sure everybody's figured out what we're talking about. If not, I feel very, very bad for you.
Of course, we're talking about the latest Christmas movie, The Christmas Prince. Of course. We couldn't spoil it, but
I don't really have the intention on watching that.
It's bad.
Okay. Well, I've been watching
It's every Hallmark Christmas movie shoved into one.
Wow. Hey, I can't say too much cuz I actually was on set for one of them. And I listened to the coyotes screwing with the cows. Because you could hear the cows mooing and carrying on. And then you heard barking.
Yeah.
It was coyotes. Had to have been. I was in no man's land. But yeah, it's all good. I've been watching. What have I been watching? Other than movie, I've been watching Raiders, The Lost Art. Talk about like art that's been like lost and found again.
Okay.
A lot of like stuff that went missing during World War II. Things like that.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. The last one I watched was about Van Gogh and how his sister-in-law saved his work and did for, you know, was sold it and had it in different museums and different stuff. I didn't realize that he had that much work out there.
Yeah, he's got quite a bit because most of it was just lost because no one treated him seriously.
Well, he destroyed a lot of his stuff, but she had like 90 some pieces. I know when he had a really good stretch, he did like 25 paintings in 5 months, they said. And majority of it, some of it was lost, but they think it actually got burned during World War II. But it was awesome stuff. I mean, this kind of falls into what we were talking before about like lost stuff. It just seems like lost history is like coming back. I mean, how many lost villages and cities and roads and just, you know, stuff that was missed has been showing up. Which actually kind of falls into talking about myths and stuff, falls into, you know, what we're going to talk about on this episode. Just different things with Christmas and how it kind of ties into, you know, different things in the past of people telling their kids, be good or so-and-so is going to eat you, you know?
Yeah.
So, you want to dive into our latest rabbit hole, Bart?
Sure.
You want to start off? Do we want to start off with Krampus, since that's like the big one?
We're not gonna dive too much into this because everyone else has been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could turn on, you know, the 5 o'clock news and wind up hearing about Krampus at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, because I think I turned on the 5 o'clock news at one point last week and heard about Krampus.
Which, I mean, it's been tied to Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, the opposite of Santa. But in truth, from like...
There's a lot of different opposites of Santa, though, out there.
Right. But the one with Santa, with Krampus, you know, it's basically what was a pagan creature, you know, basically telling the kids that you got to be good or you're going to get eaten. You're going to be taken and eaten. But it originally didn't have anything to do with Christmas.
No.
It was a pagan creature, but it was like all year long.
Yeah.
And then when what was it, the Catholics came in, they kind of mixed it and put it to Christmas, and then it was banned, and then it kind of came back.
It's just depended on the different traditions and how they've changed.
Right.
And that sort of falls into a tradition that's been recent that's just been annoying. Elf on the Shelf.
I am not a fan of that. I think that's kind of stupid. It gives parents a reason to just do crazy kiddie stuff and blame it on their kids or the elf.
Well, something I saw my sister post on Twitter or something, you know, a while back, that why do you expect kids to believe Elf on the Shelf? You know, where a Santa's in the North Pole and watching everyone all the time. Elf on the Shelf, you can freaking buy at Target.
Well, that and Santa was actually a real person. St. Nicholas was a real person.
But you're this is sort of like, you're almost asking for non-belief when you're saying this elf is watching. It's like, really? Because I just saw that elf on the store shelves like 5 minutes ago. So how can you claim that he's been watching me this whole time?
So is it like a new version of Chucky?
Sort of, I guess, yeah.
Because if you think on it, it's just Chucky all over again.
But it actually goes back, there's a story way back in the early days of with Krampus being introduced into the Christian belief. It would be, I'm trying to find it here in the story we've got here. I just saw it, and why am I not seeing it? Because my computer is stupid.
Well, I was going to say, because Elf on the Shelf hasn't been around very long.
Elf on the Shelf has only been around recently, but it's sort of an adaptation of this idea. Now, the idea was very simple. During the build-up to St. Nicholas Day on December 6th, a box would be placed on the fireplace next to the stockings. If a child was naughty, they would have their name written on a paper or their photograph placed inside the box, where it would remain until the next sunrise. So the next day. Mm-hmm. In the dark, frozen winters of Europe, the next sunrise could be days. So it would all depend on where you were. And here, I mean, it could be a couple days, depending on the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Once you were in the box, there was no telling when you would get out of the box. If you were unfortunate to still be in the box on December 5th, which was Krampus Nacht, you'd be punished and the Krampus would come for you.
Interesting.
During Krampus Nacht, Krampus would come and visit each home and look inside the box to see if any photographs or names had been left. If there was, he would snatch that naughty child as they slept and drag them to hell.
Which you could see the Christian or the Catholic mixing of that, because he was looked as Satan.
Exactly. So it seems there was this tradition was passed on for a while and even turned into like people making original Krampus boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there's some, you know, horrifying images on these boxes. But it's a good way to, you know, don't get your name in the box.
Well, I know, like, even during World War II, because of the Nazis and stuff, they were big into like that kind of stuff. And I guess you would say cultist stuff.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of the pictures and stuff back then was always of like the, you know, the postcards of it was always like the damsel in distress. And you get this devil looking creature, you know, coming after her with this monstrous forked tongue, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's always, you know, got to, I guess it's kind of what they, well, would that be considered abuse now if they did that to kids nowadays? You know, you gotta be good or you're gonna get eaten?
I mean, well, I don't know. I've seen different people turning the Elf on the Shelf into a carnivorous beast before, so.
Well, yeah.
Kind of are, some of those people are still saying that.
Yeah, I've seen it doing lots of stuff. Or where it's been burned at the stake. I've seen it doing lots of stuff with Barbie. But I guess he got slapped with a sexual harassment on that one, too. You know, it was like four Barbies in a sink of bubble bath. And yeah, he got in trouble for taking pictures. So it's kind of interesting. It goes from it's going to eat you to sexual harassment.
Yes. But there's a story in this that goes along with it. But basically in the story, the father put a picture of his son in the box, and in with the box was also there was a postcard of the Krampus with eight children. Mm-hmm. And the next morning or the next sunset, you know, sunrise, he opened the box, and inside the box was still the picture of his son, but his son's face was all scorched out.
Interesting.
And his son was nowhere to be found. But instead, along with the picture with the postcard, and instead of eight children on the postcard, there was a ninth sitting on top of the broomstick by the fire, and that child was his son. So it's basically the Krampus saying, "Hey, I just took him."
Wow. Well, because like, if we went back and talk about like, you know, the whole thing of this is going to eat you.
Yeah.
You know, Native Americans had that. You know, you don't stray. And this is not just like Christmas stuff. It's just stuff in general. But, you know, they had stories of don't leave, you know, don't stray far from, you know, the village or the camp or the fire at night. Because, you know, whatever they were calling it with their their village, it's going to take, a lot of them was going to take you, throw you in a basket and eat you. Whether it was a female or a male. That's going to come and get you and eat you. Which, if you got to think, you know, you go back to even medieval times, there was no lights out. You hear things, you don't see it, you don't know what it is. You know, how are you going to keep your children safe? You're going to scare them. Because, you know, you have elves will get you, demons will get you, sprites will get you. You know, all that kind of different stuff that falls into that.
Yeah.
Thing. I mean, Bigfoot falls into that. Because I know we have a whole bunch of other ones. And then now it's almost like kind of being made fun of.
Yeah.
But there is still festivals that they're starting to do now about Krampus.
It has become more of a tradition and more accepting. And I think most of that is like, and it would happen before the movie came out, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I think it happened a couple years before the movie came out. Like, more and more people were like, hey, let's look for stuff that's not so commercialized.
Right, it's people getting back to basically the past.
Yeah.
Getting back into, you know, history, basically. For one thing or the other. But we have another one here about the Christmas cat.
Yes, and I'm just looking on how to pronounce it here.
Yeah, I gave up.
Yola Katurin. Thank you, Google Translate. Translated as the Christmas cat.
Mm-hmm. Icelandic Yule cat, or Christmas cat. He is not a nice cat. In fact, he might eat you. But don't all cats do that?
At least they try.
Mm-hmm. This character is tied to an Icelandic tradition in which those who finished all their work on time received new clothes for Christmas, while those who were lazy did not. Although this is mainly a treat to encourage children to work hard, parents told the tale of the Yule cat, saying that the... Yeah, that thing. Could tell who the lazy children were because they did not... have at least one new item of clothing for Christmas, and these children would be sacrificed to the Yule cat. This reminder tends to spur the children into doing their chores. Wow. I think we need to keep this one up.
Yeah, there's apparently a poem. Holy crap, it's a long poem.
Well, they all were back then.
I'm sure it was shorter in Icelandic. Open his glaring eyes wide, the two of them glowing bright. It took a real brave man to look straight into them. His whiskers sharp as bristles, his back arched up high, and the claws of his hairy paws were a terrible sight. He gave a wave of his strong tail, he jumped and he clawed and he hissed, sometimes up the valley, sometimes down the shore. In the freezing Christmas snow, in every home, people shuddered at his name if one heard a pitiful meow.
Wow.
Yeah. The little children stood rosy and proud, all dressed up in their new clothes. Some had gotten an apron, some had gotten shoes, or something that was needed. That was all it took. For all who got something new to wear, something out of that pussycat's grasp, he then gave an awful hiss, but went on his way.
Wow. Which, I didn't think... I find that interesting, because Iceland, I didn't really think they had cats unless they, you know, brought them there. I didn't think there was anything originally there.
I imagine it's a bigger cat.
Right. It was probably like what they're considering, was it the black leopard jaguar or whatever?
Yeah.
It's the one that they supposedly are still seeing in England today. Which Iceland and England really aren't that hugely apart, I suppose. So maybe ice bridge or whatever could have connected them at one point. And then this one here, tales told in Germany and in Austria sometimes feature a witch named Frau Perchta?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you got German. I'm like, yeah. I do too, but I was never taught. Who hands out both rewards and punishments during the 12 days of Christmas.
And the 12 days of Christmas is actually Christmas on, not before it.
That's kind of different, too.
Yeah.
She is best known for her gruesome punishment of the sinful. She will rip out your intestinal organs and replace them with garbage. The ugly image may show up in Christmas processions in Austria, somewhat like Krampus.
He kind of looks like Krampus, too.
Krampus is mommy?
No, because she's more human-like.
Could be his mom. Well, okay, she, number three, the witch, got together number four and had Krampus. How's that?
Oh, but Belsnickel is also from Germany, so...
Mm-hmm.
Belsnickel comes to children before Christmas wearing tattered old clothing and raggedy fur. He carries a switch to frighten children and candy to reward them for good behavior. This switch is only used for noise and to warn children if they still have time to be good before Christmas. Then all the children get candy if they are polite about it. Belsnickel is a portmanteau of gold of German Belsen, meaning to wallop, and nickel for Saint Nicholas. Both is something that's not mentioned before, which makes no difference, makes no idea whatsoever. Says Necht Ruprecht and Ruklaff are similar to characters from German folklore who dole out beatings to bad children, leaving St. Nicholas to reward the good children.
Huh. But yeah, it's all about scaring the crap out of your kids to be good and do their chores.
Yeah. He's just a kinder version.
Mm-hmm. I just find it's interesting that all of this originated from Germany somewhere.
Yeah, well, almost. This one here, right after, it came from France. Hans, which is crazy because his name is Hans.
Mm-hmm.
Hans Trapp was a real man, a rich, greedy, evil man who worshipped Satan and was excommunicated from the Catholic Church. He was sent into the forest where he preyed upon children, disguised as a scarecrow, and apparently he was about to eat one boy he captured when he was struck by lightning and killed. Still, he visits children before Christmas, dressed as a scarecrow to scare them into being good.
Wow.
Okay.
What was that movie? They did like 4 or 5 of them. What was that? Crud. I don't know if it was a monster. It came out like every 7 years, it would wake up and like eat everybody.
I'm not sure.
And they usually thought it was a scarecrow until it started eating you and fly around. Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers? Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Jeepers Creepers.
Okay. I just feel like celebrating a child predator from the church, probably not something to do real good to do before Christmas.
Hey. I find it interesting. Well, maybe this is where, what is it, Hansel and Gretel came from?
Maybe. Well, they said this was in France.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of France and Germany was crossing back and forth.
Yeah. Like,
it would be Germany, then it would be France, and then it would be German, and it was always back and forth between the two. A lot of the land was. Because I know that's how Bavaria is both. It's a lot of French and a lot of German. I know that because that's where my family's from.
Well, speaking of Hansel and Gretel, the next one kind of falls in with that.
Father Whipper?
Yes.
Begins with an evil butcher who carved children to eat.
Carved.
It's carved. He carved children to eat. Who craved children to eat, he or his wife lured 3 boys into a butcher shop where he killed, chopped, salted, and salted them. St. Nicholas came to the rescue, resurrected the boys, and took custody of the butcher. The captive butcher became something, and St. Nicholas... Yeah, because I've heard this one, because supposedly he opened up the pickle barrel, and the 3 boys were alive.
Yeah.
So that's the whole, you're gonna get eaten and pickle-fied. You got the next one, the Yule Lads?
Yeah. Hang on a minute. I'm going to find out exactly what it is because I can't even guess. It is Yule Lads Vader.
What was that?
Don't ask me to say it again.
No, because
you're... Yule Lads Vader.
Okay. Yes, still Yule Lads. That's better.
Yeah. The Yule Lads are Icelandic trolls who each have their own name and distinct personality, of which this article shows not to provide.
Well, there's 13 of them. That would be a large article.
In ancient times, they stole things and caused trouble around Christmas time, so they were used to scare children into behaving. After come the 20th century, though, tales of a benevolent Norwegian figure named Junis, also known, which would be Santa Claus, brought gifts to children. These traditions became mingled until the formerly devilish Julaftenvaner became kind enough to also leave gifts and the shoes that children left out.
Because I know that was very common back then. As they would leave their shoes out, and they would have gifts put in their shoes.
Yeah, I mean that was already common practice at one point anyway. So.
Mm-hmm.
But the Yule Lads answer to their mother, Grilla, who apparently the translation is Bugatti, which makes even less sense. She predates the Yule Lads, obviously, as she is an ogress who kidnaps cooks and eats children who don't obey their parents.
Which, if you think on that, that could also be the volcanic fields.
Yes. She was never actually associated with the Yule Lads until the 17th century, when she became their mother. But according to legend, she had 3 different husbands and 72 children.
Wow, impressive.
All caused trouble from harmless mischief to murder.
Well.
Also, she owns the old cat.
Nice.
Apparently, even the Onion blamed her for the 2010 eruption of a volcano that starts with an E. you guys can look at the link. I don't think even Google Translate understands what it just told me. It doesn't because it thinks it's English. That's not English.
But no, because I know Iceland has a lot of different myths and stuff of like the land itself.
Yeah.
We have different stories of like, they don't want to do anything to rocks, so they make the roads go around the rocks. Instead of like us, we would go through the rocks or blow the rocks up because, you know, elves live in the rocks there. They don't want to tick them off. I heard of other stories of stuff coming out of rocks and coming at people. Like, what would be the little guys? Would that be, it's not, I'm trying to think. Would they be like goblins, maybe? The short little things? I think the one was I read was goblins. The other one was like a snake critter coming at people, coming out of the rocks and coming at people.
Okay, yeah.
Would explain why why Iceland has a lot of the rules and stuff like this, because they have a lot of volcano. Would make sense. Interesting. All right, what else do we have? Because basically we've learned Christmas is all about scaring the shit out of your children to behave, or they're going to get eaten by something.
But there's a little more humor, it seems, of some traditions.
Mm-hmm. Which one did you...
This one, what did we have? I don't even see where this one is.
25 bizarre what?
Which one? The 25 bizarre and interesting facts or the 5 creepy Christmas traditions?
Yeah, I'm bringing up the 25 bizarre and interesting facts.
Okay.
I forgot to turn my Wi-Fi back on my phone.
Oh.
It's all good. Okay, here we go. There are many bizarre and interesting facts about Christmas. For example, did you know that many zoos feed donated Christmas trees to their animals? Well, they do that with pumpkins for Halloween.
Yeah.
Or that during Christmas, there's a village in Peru where both young and old settle any outstanding grudges with fistfights.
Understandable.
Early illustrations to St. Nicholas made him out to be a stern symbol of discipline rather than a jolly overweight elf that children know today.
And that was something that he really was. He was never even dressed in red for quite some time. It was Coca-Cola put him in red.
Mm-hmm.
So that he could use him for advertisements.
Yep, because he matched their pop, their labels. Yeah. All letters addressed to Santa, United States, go to Santa Claus, Indiana.
At which point, somebody is probably still trying to figure out how to rename their city.
No, I think they're probably owning it. Engineers that designed the Voyager space mission planned things out so it would avoid planetary encounters during Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I see this one about the fighting in Peru, and they actually got kids fighting.
I get everyone to fight.
Telling scary ghost stories in an old Christmas Eve tradition that has died out in the past century. That's sad.
Yeah.
Bring Scrooge McDuck back.
Yes. I actually went looking for that, and it took a long time to find that special. I finally found it on Netflix, hidden inside a different Disney Christmas special.
Oh.
It took a while.
Yeah.
It is estimated that the song White Christmas by Irving Berlin is the best-selling single in history, with over 100 million copies sold.
During Christmas in Newfoundland, people called murmurs or mummers,
Mummers.
dress up in crude disguises and go from house to house dancing and playing music while the host tried to identify them. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, back to what you were saying before. A large part of Sweden's population watches Donald Duck cartoons every Christmas Eve since 1960.
Well, I know I think it's Iceland. Their tradition is Christmas Eve, everybody gets a book and they all go back to their room, eat chocolate, and read their book for on Christmas Eve. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
But I would have to have a little coffee with mine.
Yeah. Well, the best place to get that coffee would be Denny's, which apparently many of them were built without locks because they were open 24/7. And this became a problem when they decided to start closing for Christmas back in 1988.
See, I go for a half a gallon of pre-done coffee, just keep it in my fridge.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney earns nearly $500,000 every year from his Christmas song, which many critics regard as his worst song ever. Hey.
It kind of is.
Must be because I don't know what it is.
We're simply having a wonderful Christmas time. We cannot get in trouble for using that term on here for copyright, even though it's the only words in the song. It's better, though it is better than the Beatles' Christmas song, which had even fewer words. I think it had five words.
During the Christmas of 2010, the Colombian government covered jungle trees with lights when FARC guerrillas terrorists walked by. Trees lit up and banners asking them to lay down their arms became visible. 331 guerrillas re-entered society, and the campaign won an awkward run an award for marketing excellence. What the hell? So what, was it all automated?
It had to have been.
I was expecting someone to like be in the bush or in the
Yeah.
tree or something. Well, they all went to Walmart the year before and bought all the dancing, singing Christmas trees and then just
Yes.
recorded the stuff on them.
It looks like that's fine. It looks like nearly all of the most popular Christmas songs, including Winter Wonderland, The Christmas Song, and I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas,
You forgot
were.
chestnuts roasting.
Yeah, that was the Christmas song.
Yeah, I like chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Yeah, that's it's actually called a Christmas song. I don't know why they wrote that.
Because it's funny.
Yes. They're all written by Jewish people. I like to think that it's just written by people who know how to write songs that'll make money.
Yep. During the Christmas of 2014, World War I, a truce was held between Germany and UK. They decorated their shelters, exchanged gifts across no man's land, and played a game of football between themselves. You know, no man land.
Yeah.
That's the one in Wonder Woman when she runs across the field.
It is, yes.
Or
And
in.
it wouldn't have been that far after that if that happened in the movie that this would have happened.
Right, and then it was also in No Man's Land was also in Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes. And I think both of those happened about the same time too.
Probably. In 1918, and for the past 40 years, the Canadian province of Nova Scotia has sent the city of Boston a giant Christmas tree as a thank you for their support after 1970 Halifax explosion.
Wow. So apparently, back in 1867, a Boston industrialist heard Charles Dickens read A Christmas Carol, and was so moved he closed his entire factory on Christmas Day and gave every single person turkey.
Nice. It's a lot of turkey.
Yeah. But hey, if War of the Worlds can do it.
True. And see, and also, this here, I think we're in the process of going through, by the way. I think we're in the beginnings of it. Between the 16th and 19th century was what is known as the Little Ice Age, where global temperatures were severe degrees lower than normal. It is for this reason that many Christmas carols and songs stress a white Christmas. I think that's where we're heading. I think we're in the beginning of Ice Age.
Oh, well, Lily, the weather's changing so drastically anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think we are. I mean, if you look at the stuff in the south, the places that don't get snow, and all of a sudden they're getting freaking snow.
Yeah.
But.
Apparently, even Hitler tried to make Christmas his own holiday. The Nazi Party tried to turn Christmas into a non-religious holiday, celebrating the coming of Hitler, with St. Nicholas replaced by Odin, the solstice man, and put swastikas on top of Christmas trees.
Mm-hmm. And then Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen's only record to go... I give a talk. To get the UK Christmas single chart number one... twice, once in 75 and one in 91.
Back when the only thing on the radio was not Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
It's going back to the other one. U.S. playing card company Bicycle manufactured a playing card in World War II, which would reveal an escape route for POWs when it was soaked. All these cards were Christmas presents for all the POWs in Germany.
Wow. So does that mean people were peeing on their costume or their stuff?
Probably not. If they were outside, all they had to do was put it under the snow.
True. If they got snow.
Yes. An artificial Christmas tree reused for more than 20 years to be greener than buying a fresh cut tree annually.
I'm not into buying dead stuff. Like, I don't like to cut tree, like, stuff like this. I don't like
I can't even have a real tree.
I don't like flower. Well, you heard the whole thing of now, supposedly the live ones are full of so many bugs, you just bring them into your house.
Oh, yeah. But then the artificial ones are so much of a pain in the butt because they're screwed up when you buy them.
I never... We have not put one up in a long time. Ken keeps saying I want to, but he never did. The joys of having...
Kathy would probably destroy it.
We don't know. She's been getting stuff that's like 6 foot high off the ground. And we don't know how, but she has. Did I tell you that she tried to feed me candy yesterday?
Yeah.
I don't know where she gets this. Now, this is on a table that's in the middle of the room, and she still gets on it. Not sure how. Cassie is insane. She lives up to her name.
For some people who abbreviate Christmas as Xmas, apparently this is because, and this is something I never knew, I just always did it. X is the Greek letter chi, which is the abbreviation for the word Christ in Greek.
Cool.
I have never known that. It's just always been an easy abbreviation.
Okay. And Japanese people traditionally eat at KFC for Christmas dinner, thanks to a successful marketing campaign 40 years ago. KFC is so popular that customers must place their Christmas orders 2 months in advance.
Wow. The people of Oslo, Norway, not Normandy, that is not where Oslo is.
I know, we keep talking about World War II, don't we?
donate the Travelgar Square Christmas tree every year in gratitude to the people of London for their assistance during World War II.
Although that is one I haven't watched yet.
Which one?
Dunkirk?
It looks good, but it's just not my type of movie.
I tend to watch all that stuff like that when Ken's not around. But I've been busy blowing up and shooting aliens of late, and I will probably do that once I get this edited quickly.
Okay, now go back to Christmas. Sorry, one of the videos just started randomly playing and blasting in my ear.
You're fine. Oh yeah, I know. Christmas purchases account for 1/6 of all retail sales in the U.S. annually. Speaking of that, my website is almost done. Yay!
Yay!
We took a bunch of test pictures this weekend. I'm so excited. Okay, let's see. What else do you want to watch? Or watch? Yeah, what do you want to watch, Bart? What do you want to watch?
Oh, come on. You, open. Oh, there's this one here that... No, I don't want that.
5 Creepy Christmas Traditions?
Yeah.
Or Gruesome Murders from the Past?
I say this looks like murders. I need a little murder in my life.
Hey, that's what Chewie said.
Obviously, the Christmas season is not always great. Neither is this video it's forcing me to watch. But sometimes people have the habit of just killing each other.
Mm-hmm. So Merry Christmas to you.
Yes. Here's 10 gruesome murders from Christmas past. 1900 Christmas Eve in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. In an unlicensed bar selling moonshine, 60 miles outside of town, 4 young men, including the bar's owner, were downing homemade whiskey by the pint until they got drunk. And at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, another young man, Marion Henderson, joined the party. Shortly after, Bob Morris accused Henderson of blocking his light, drew his revolver, and shot the man in the chest at close range. The bullet was lodged near Henderson's heart, and he died before any help could arrive.
Interesting.
Closer to home, Chamberburg, Ohio, 1880. A dance at Forester's Hall ended in tragedy when a man challenged the doorkeeper and demanded entrance. The doorkeeper called for the manager, who explained that according to the rules, no gentleman is a lady partner. The argument is escalated, heated words were exchanged, and the man tried to force his way inside. Witnesses later testified he was as sober as a judge. But when the manager stood in his way, the man drew his revolver, shot him at the top of the head. The bullet passed vertically through his skull, lodged into the roof of his mouth. He died at the manager died at 5 a.m. Christmas morning, while the man fled after stealing his brother's horse.
And the next one, Savannah, Georgia, 1898. There was a busy night for a Savannah police who made over 150 arrests, including 2 murders. Charles Lowe and Charles Green got into an argument over 2 women. Lowe stabbed Green in the belly. He bled to death shortly afterwards. The second murder occurred when Queen Martin quarreled with her paramour and stabbed him in the heart. The most unusual crime of the evening occurred when Major R.W. Olive of Pembroke, Georgia, was assaulted by Paul Kennedy. Despite being badly beaten, Major Olive pistol-whipped Kennedy and almost bit off his thumb in the altercation. Newspaper accounts speculate his honor would demand further satisfaction from Kennedy in a public duel. Wow. I mean, this is why Prohibition happened. And then we've got one that's another Kentucky. Livermore, Kentucky, 1900. Wow, that was a busy year.
Yeah.
Huh, more dancing. Holiday dances were hazardous places at the turn of the century. Two rivals, John Forge and M. Garman, were both in love with Lily Lambert. During the dancing in the ballroom, Frog deliberately tripped Garman when Garman's to see objective. Frog whipped out two revolvers and began shooting. As bullets flew around him, Garman ran next door, acquired a shotgun, returned, and blew off Frog's head. Although clearly a case of self-defense, Garman guiltily concise prompted him to skip town and lie low, which he did until March when he finally confessed to the sheriff of in Illinois. Wow.
Wow. It looks like 5 years before 1895, this time happening on Christmas. Most of these have happened Christmas Eve.
See, if they would have known about Krampus, they wouldn't have been doing this stuff.
Exactly. In the St. Louis Tenderloin District, known as the Deep Morgan, Lee Shelton, a very fashionable dresser for a pimp and whorehouse boss, went into a saloon where he met his friend William Lyons. It seems Shelton was a Democrat, Lyons was a Republican, and they were both drunk. Insults turned into a slap fight, and Lyons' bowler hat was crushed. He demanded payment for the ruined hat and took Shelton Stetson hostage. Shelton then drew a revolver and deliberately shot him dead. This whole story became the basis of the song Stagger Lee. I've never heard the song before.
Me neither.
It looks like Magnum, Texas, also 1885. Three men got together to brag about their conquests of the fairer sex. At some point in the mutual swagger fest, Don Sullivan not only insulted his friend Doyle's wife, but boasted that he'd had sex with her also. During the resulting quarrel, Sullivan drew a revolver, so did Doyle, and he was quicker on the trigger. Doyle's bullets took Sullivan through the heart. Honor satisfied, Doyle calmly walked down the street to a hotel, only to be shot dead by the third friend avenging the other friend. That third friend finally rode out of town to escape the hangman. The two dead men were buried on Christmas Day. Lacking a preacher, the citizens of Magnum, where this was, Magnum, Texas, gathered around the graves and said silent prayers.
This one is Ashland, Kentucky. A lot has been going down in Kentucky.
Yeah.
1881. Robert Gibson... Gibbons, a 17-year-old amputee, his sister, 14, their friends, 15, were asleep when someone entered the Gibbons family home in the early morning hours and bludgeoned them to death with an axe and crowbar. For good measure, the killer set the house on fire. Neighbors, alerted by the flames, rushed to help and discovered the three bodies with their skulls smashed to pieces. The town doctor also found the girls had been assaulted. Ultimately, three men were accused of the crime. Ellis, Neal, and Kraft. Ellis later recanted his confession, but died at the hands of a lynch mob. Kraft and Neal were hanged legally after a couple of trials, venue changes, and a lot of drama. And then this one is also, it's New York City, New York, in 1901. John Bell, a man who lived in Brooklyn, had a wife of 15 years, Margaret, who returned from a trip to Scotland to inform him that she was pregnant. Although he had no evidence of cheating, he suspected the baby wasn't his. For weeks, he bullied, threatened, and verbally abused her. Instead of getting in the Christmas mood, he brooded. She grew sick of his attitude and told him he was being ridiculous. At last, insane with jealousy, he confronted her in the basement of their home with a revolver, intending to kill her and then himself. In desperation, she leaped at him and then struggled for the weapon. Bell wrenched away and shot shot her in the left eye. She died. He changed his mind about suicide, went outside and confessed to police.
Wow.
So she actually could have actually been his, depending on how long, how far along she was and how long she was gone.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, 1894, on Christmas. John Johnston, his wife Amy, and friend Daniel Heron, Daniel's wife and a mutual friend, gathered together in Johnston's house to spend a nice evening celebrating Christmas. At about 7 o'clock, after an argument over an old grudge turned bitter, Heron drew a gun and tried to shoot Johnston, but Amy leapt to her husband's defense and took the bullet in her right side. Suddenly sobered, Heron ran back to his own house, where he was arrested for manslaughter when Amy Johnston's wound proved to be fatal. So it was barely even one word spoken.
Yeah.
New York, 1878, the last one. A 16-year-old, Sarah Hayden, 16 years old and married for 3 months, had a male acquaintance in the neighborhood, Felix Lavelle, whom she'd known for a while. Sarah liked her games with Lavelle, and which included searching his trouser and jacket pockets for candy when they met on the street. But apparently there was also a gun in his pocket. Lavelle removed the revolver, took out a cartridge, and gave it to Sarah as a keepsake. Next, he cocked the hammer, pointed the weapon at her, and accidentally pulled the trigger. Because he was that stupid to even pull the gun out in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And he shot her in the left breast at point-blank range. Lavelle helped the dying Sarah to her doorstep and waited in a daze for the police, when he was arrested, convicted of second-degree murder, and sentenced to life imprisonment.
Wow.
So if you needed to not be happy for the rest of the day, here you go.
Hey, if you're not being murdered by, you know, cats, you're being murdered by your dumb friends.
Yes.
You know? We see how Prohibition has, like, where it came from. I'm surprised they haven't tried to do that again. But then again, I would be one of the first ones to have my own still or two in the basement. Yeah, I know some makers. I can go. I got some people that make their own brew. I can learn. So, do you have any other stories, or was that the last one?
That was sort of the last Christmas story I've got.
That's the last one. We're just gonna end with murder.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't mean to laugh, but it's just, wow. What do they all have in common? Booze and women.
Yes.
Except for the last one.
No, he didn't need booze. He was just dumb enough to begin with.
Well, that's how you learn, you know, not to point guns at anybody. I guess they didn't learn that lesson back then. So... this is Christmas. We're going to try to do... I don't know. We'll see when we get together.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, if you have any stories, you know, let us know. You have any other myths or legends that you guys know of, let us know.
Definitely. Yeah, and like, there's so many shows doing, you know, Christmas stuff. You know, you find something cool, post it on our Facebook page.
Exactly. Bart wants emails. Send Bart mail.
Yes. You can find us on Facebook, and we're on Twitter. You can email us if you have any cool stories, even personal stories. TFTDpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. And we're part of TangentBoundNetwork.com and WeBeGeeksPC.com. And don't forget, we got swag, lots and lots of cool swag on TeePublic. So just look up Tales from the Darkness. You know, hey, let us know. So I say I'll talk to you later, Bart.
I'll talk to you later.
Everybody stay safe. Have a great Christmas, a holiday, whatever. Don't shoot your friends. Don't get drunk.
Yes. So, you know, if you're going to get drunk, don't have a weapon with you.
Don't be a crabby, mean drunk. And if you are that type, don't drink.
Yes.
Stay away from the Kool-Aid. Stay far, far away from the Kool-Aid. So I will talk to you later, Bart. I will see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye, guys.